The state will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with me, William English, and today we are continuing the theme of destruction in art and auto-destructive art with the eminent Richard Thomas.
Good afternoon, or good evening, I suppose, if you're listening to the repeat.
Indeed.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Richard. Well, thank you very much for joining in to this destructive.
It was a mere short walk, literally from the office above. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I'm glad to have finally entrapped you. It's been a long hunt, but we got you in the end.
Now you're going to expose me.
Where have you been?
What do you mean? Where have I been?
For the last.
Well.
You seek him here, they seek him there.
I am quite elusive.
You have been elusive.
Yes, I like to maintain some sort of elusivity.
Elusiveness, yes. Mm. Okay. Well, let's plough on. You were...
I've been in Tenerife, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, talking of anti-matters. Yes, the death camp for the retired.
Right. Yeah. Canary Islands.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Very nice at this time of year, actually.
Yes.
Not too overly populated by holidaymakers. And, temperature was kind of in the 30s a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. A much needed break.
Yep.
And
is there any destructive art in Tenerife?
The whole island. You couldn't find very hard to find anything resembling indigenous culture. It's the soft it's the soft face of post-imperialism, I think.
Right.
You know.
Is it?
Can't move for it's kind of like Murdoch Island, really. You can't move for Sky Sports, really.
Oh, right.
You know, but it's a very nice place, really, aside from all that. And, people are entitled to go and eat.
Yes.
I don't know, pie and chips in 30 degrees heat, watching various Premiership games on TV, aren't they, after toiling away.
Is it very sort of English in that way? Is it like...
Mainly British and German, I noticed. I think quite a few Scandinavian... I even noticed a Scandinavian restaurant, which was interesting. And lots of strange stuff, really. You know, you think the last thing you'd want to eat, really, even at this time of year, it's very warm, is a red hot Chinese buffet, you know, and funny stuff, you know. I find it quite hard to get hold of like really good oranges and things like that, which is ironic considering,
yeah.
You know.
Yes. That's what you'd expect to find there.
Spain has many and so on, but of course we're on the equator and I guess it's not so far from North Africa, so, you know, it's relatively.
Any canaries? Or?
No, not that I noticed.
No?
The ubiquitous sort of equatorial finch.
Yeah.
But yes, didn't even see any lizards. But there you go. I didn't venture much beyond the confines of the apartment I was staying in. It had a balcony. I mean, I went out. Yeah.
So, there
you are. But that's enough about my private life.
Yes. All right. So you're back now.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the helm.
Well, not quite.
You are station manager of Resonance.
No, I'm not. I'm one of four people that work in a managerial capacity, or attempt to. And what I do is I manage or mismanage content, and which means you
people like me, yeah.
Deal with people like you. Which is never a chore, William. Never a chore. Always a delight.
Thank you.
Also, I have to come up with ideas for programs and manage other people's ideas of program for programming and so on and so on, and many other things as well. And everybody else gets to contribute to this in an editorial capacity too. So but there you are. Yes.
Yeah. And you were anchorman for Rezo Vision, were you not?
Well, I was one of the anchor people. Yes.
Yes.
There were several people doing it, but I was presenting. What did I do? I did a couple of shows a day. So I did one in the morning around about 11 a.m. and one in the evening around about 6, and then I was sort of directing or attempting to, the cameras and so on in the afternoons. So I was filming things like Spartacus Chetwynd's sort of theatrical kind of performance piece and so on.
Yeah.
I wasn't directing it, I was directing the sort of TV rendering of it.
Yes.
Which was, it was an experiment. It went wrong more than it went right, but that's the nature of some experiments, and it was very good fun, actually. It was quite interesting. Freeze is a very difficult place to do this stuff in because the infrastructure is already kind of against you just doing radio sometimes, because it's a big temporary piece of infrastructure that has obviously got problems, in working fluidly, so we'd get power cuts and things like that from time to time, which is not ideal for stuff that uses electricity like radio and television, Or as a television, I suppose, we're talking about a televisual-like object for the web, mainly,
For people that don't know, Resovision was a sort of a foray into Resonance television, which was launched at the Frieze Art Fair. Any future for this?
No. Yeah, I not even a past. Right. No, I mean, I'd like to do it again. I really enjoy it. I'm very interested in sort of TV and film and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Film in particular, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to do something in TV because very, seldom does anyone get the chance to sort of experiment with it. Some things we did were relatively conventional in terms of form, but perhaps unconventional in terms of content and so on. And because, of course, no one's really made TV. Some people have done TV. I worked in TV for a bit and I've been on TV programs before and stuff like that, but never actually made TV, So it's an interesting thing to do, but it's always dodgy, isn't it, when brands diversify. So, I'm not saying Resonance is a brand, but perhaps, it's a fun thing to do and so on, and entertaining, I think, for a small minority of people. Possibly a huge number of people might be interested, but does it detract from your day-to-day business, which, the thing you really kind of know how to do, which is radio broadcasting. But, yes.
Let's get on to Destruction.
Mm.
You were actively involved in the Anti-Design Festival.
Well, yeah, I was. Well, I was one of the sort of artists, I suppose.
It was really curated a slot, didn't you?
It was really, in a sense, it was really a Resonance thing. And then I don't think we collectively had enough time to hang on. I've just got to shove this piano.
Yep.
There's a piano to my
left.
Do
you need a hand? Do you want a hand to push it?
What's that joke about, Dad? Do you know the piano's on my foot? No, son, you. I'll play it. Yeah. No, I don't. It's okay. It's too heavy. We need several hands.
Right.
Anyway, either way, I'm just hemmed in by an upright piano.
It's a Markson piano, isn't it? Perhaps we should mention that.
Yeah.
It was provided courtesy of Markson Pianos Limited.
Yeah.
So if you use the piano or push it, please make an on-air announcement to the effect that the piano was provided courtesy of Markson Pianos Limited. So we've done that.
Mm. So, yeah, so the Anti-Design Festival. So anyway, I ended up, curating, they call it, don't they? I don't know what it is. Organising. But I'm happy to take that
is destruction close to your heart, Richard?
Yes, it is, actually, in a strange way. In a strange way, it is. Where do you start?
Well, we could start with a countryman of yours who I looked up just this morning. Ivor Davies.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Welshman.
Penny hasn't dropped yet.
Right. Dias, Destruction and Art Symposium. He was apparently involved with explosives.
Was he anything to do with the Free Welsh Army?
I don't think he was. No. It seems if you look him up, it's very, very hard to link him to explosives because he sort of, it seems like he very quickly started doing very conventional paintings, and I think he's tried to sort of distance himself from any connection with explosives whatsoever. But he was part of the sort of Metzger team, and his website now is just these charming sort of landscapes, you know, Welsh hillsides. But his contribution at the time to the Dias events, where apparently he had a thing about using explosives. I thought you might have come across him.
No, I don't, actually. It's one of those things. I don't know an awful lot about what was... I think mainly because I don't speak Welsh, and I'm sure a lot of really interesting things were going on and are going on that I'm oblivious to because of that language barrier. And of course, I mean, I've been living in London for 20 years, so, you know. But no, I didn't. I'd never heard of him, actually. No. But it's interesting, if you think about South Wales, in a sense, I mean, the whole place is sort of predicated on some kind of destruction because of its industrialisation.
Right.
And then the removal of that heavy industry, or, you know, the dismantling of that heavy industry, particularly under Thatcher in the 80s. So you do have quite a scarred landscape in places and so on. So there is an element of the destroyed that's always kind of lurking there somehow.
Yeah. So who was... describe your... I mean, the event at... was it? Redchurch Street?
Yeah, so it was at a temporary space in Redchurch Street. The Anti-Design Festival, of course, was sort of... exists because of the, you know, well-known designer Neville Brody.
Uh-huh.
And there were various talks, performances and other events pertaining to the notion of anti-design. And I wanted to really look at what do you actually mean by anti-design, you know, or anti-art and so on. Because to me, it's sort of predicated upon mimesis, isn't it? You know, it's anti-art comments upon orthodox art, you know, and therefore its existence is contingent upon orthodox art in a sense. Whereas true...
Yep. Yes.
Anti-art is completely... You know, well, if it's possible to have a true anti-art, but it's something... It doesn't even self-consciously negate art. It just is oblivious to it.
Right.
I guess. Whatever. Yes. I want... You know, and again, it's quite a complicated thing to get your head around, really, I suppose. But I wanted to just look at what do we actually mean by the anti, and how can we think of it beyond just, say, visual art and so on. So
I was surprised by the use of the word design, actually, in a way, for the event. I found that misleading because it sort of put me off slightly, because I thought it's actually more interesting, I think, than being just about... It's not really anti-design at all, is it?
What, my thing?
Well, the whole...
Thing is pro-design. This is pro-design. And I mean, I think the other thing with that, you know, I think the whole thing, it was part of Design Week. You know, I think the whole thing was kind of... It's slightly kind of neutered by those associations, you know. And that's what capitalism does, isn't it? And that's what the orthodoxies do, is they absorb the radical critique... And then spit it back out in a kind of diluted form, don't they? Or dribble it back out in a diluted form. But my thing really was to just inquire, you know, what do we actually mean by the anti? And so I had some artists come on who you know, were interested in what the same thing, really, and they made some video pieces which kind of explored the notion of anti-art. I had Dr. Ed Gertzner, who works for Nature Physics. He's the editor of Nature Physics magazine, talking about antimatter itself. Had Stuart Holm talking about autodestructive art, I suppose, a little bit about John Latham to a certain extent, and much else besides. Ben Watson, also talked about sort of anti-art and mimesis and negative dialectics and so on. And they had Brinorin Velukri, who's an anthropology, researcher in anthropology at Oxford University, talking about his practice, his research methods or research area of research interest, which is the spatialization of human waste and the sewers. And in some ways, I suppose we can perceive sewer systems as being anti-spaces or negative spaces, you know.
Yeah.
And I've probably left someone out. But so it was a very simple event. It was just some people talking in a room that was actually packed. It was actually really busy.
About
this stuff. And that was really great, really, just doing an evening where people have come to hear discourse and so on. And it was fun. And that was it. It was pretty much, I didn't want any... Oh, Ken Hollins, of course, talked about trash culture and the trash aesthetic in the context of, you know, trash stuff being a reclamation of the rejected and so on. So it was quite a diverse evening. It also seemed a bit kind of anti-women when you look at the
it
was all very male, wasn't it? There was a, that wasn't deliberate or anything. It's just unfortunate coincidence. But on reflection, you
Cecilia
look at
Wee
Cecilia
was
Wee was the overall curator of these events. But you know, it was sad that I didn't find you know, it was perhaps a little bit male in terms of those speaking. But that wasn't, you know, that's just
how
it fell into place, really.
Constant risk, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but I am kind of aware of those things.
And a sort of manifesto was issued, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had no hand in that.
Did you not?
No, I was just...
Are you trying to distance yourself from the manifesto? You're not.
I think that it's a lot of it's just empty rhetoric, and there's no real politics to it.
I was just going to say, was it purely rhetorical, or did
absolutely
it
no? Yeah? It was just pure rhetoric. I think. And I think there was, I mean, apart from, you know, platitudes, which you know, they're fine in a way to say that. I don't know. You know, basically, it struck me as it absorbed a lot of anti-capitalist rhetoric, but without really, really getting down to the nitty-gritty. You know. But still, the heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And
it's just sad that the establishment was taking its pulse every 5 seconds, if you see what I mean. I think there could have been a bit, but you know, it's a hard thing, isn't it? Because it wasn't about. It is ultimately about design and aesthetics as such, in its broadest sense, I suppose. But I don't know. I can't really speak for the festival. I can only speak for the thing that I was involved in.
Yeah.
And my remit was to engage with cultural politics, but you know, you know, I wasn't about to do an evening, you know, of economic analysis. Though I'm not opposed to that. It's just that I felt I should stay, you know, within the remit of the overall festival, and talk about, get people to talk about notions of aesthetics and so on.
And you've brought some sort of sound pieces with you, which might be relevant.
Well, sort of. I mean, well, actually, let's just get this one going while we chat a moment, because it serves the same purpose as it did when we were at the venue. So as my sort of prelude to the talks, I had this thing going, which is essentially a loop recorded in a sewer by Bruno Rinvalucri. And I had that rotating at high volume for about 20 minutes. We'll just bring it up a little bit more.
Sure.
But they were, you know, I wanted to not have any fancy sort of projections or PowerPoint presentations and all this rubbish. And I wanted it to be pretty unadorned, really. I just wanted people speaking, possibly with bits of paper with notes on in their hands. But that's it. Just very.
Yeah.
As I say, very sort of straight and, you know, no ornamentation or anything like that.
So this is a recording from in a London sewer?
Yeah, it was a recording in a London sewer. And then, no, I believe that's a sort of a, you know, what do you call them, like a manhole thing with a vehicle passing over it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But it's a kind of anti-space.
Yeah,
and it's also quite benign. I mean, it's quite pleasant, isn't it? Paradoxically, even though I imagine it's an absolutely disgusting, fetid space beneath.
Yeah. Have you been down yourself? Or?
No, I haven't actually. I've had the opportunity and could go down, and I will go down eventually actually, yeah. But just no, I haven't. I mean, you know, because of course Bruno from time to time makes a series called Tunnel Vision, which right. we broadcast on yep. Resonance. It's not on at the moment. It just came to the end of a short run a while ago, and you know, there are far more interesting and expert people than me for Bruno to talk to down right. a sewer. But I would certainly like to go down there,
yeah.
Even if it was just for sort of research purposes rather than, you know, for the purposes of radio.
Yeah.
And that was it. Though it did end on a bit of music. Do you want to hear a bit of music?
Sure.
Should we have a quick break and have some music?
Yeah.
So I was heartened to see that the Feeding of the 5000, the first Crass album, has recently been reissued. And I've always had a fondness for Crass in terms of, to me, there was struck me as being a kind of like almost an equivalent of like the Situationists in the UK, because there was more to them than just the music. They made films, they were very politically engaged, they produced graphic materials and so on and so on and so on. And I don't know, it seems kind of apposite that album's come back. But there's a funny track on it, which is, you know, sort of like teenage nihilism, which is always a very appealing thing to me. It's called I Don't Like It. I just played it at the end.
What's the date of this? When's
it? Oh, this is actually, the album itself is from about, I think it's from 79, 80. Mm. Or is it 81? I can't remember. 81, 82 even. But this is from 77. It's an early thing. So it's okay. Just Penny Rambo and Steve Ignorant, I think. Let's let's have a listen. I Don't Like It.
I don't.
Oh, not long enough. There you are. Well, never mind.
A quick burst of Crass.
Yeah, very funny.
And, all right, so you were on this demonstration on Wednesday.
No comment.
Fair enough.
No, yeah, I was, yeah. I was covering it as a reporter. I was totally kettled, of course, at the end, along with lots of other shivering 14- and 15-year-old girls and boys, yeah. But, yeah, there was. And it was jolly good fun, I think.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kettling.
Hmm.
I don't understand why people don't perhaps get kettled somewhere of their own choice, instead of sort of, it seems like the police are always one step ahead and manage to kind of like box them
well,
in.
Well, I suppose.
Whereas if you, I mean, let's say you decided to.
Well, it's hard in London, isn't it? Right, because obviously, you know, you're in Whitehall, Parliament Street. You know,
exactly.
you're doing that obviously because you want to be near the powers that be. The intention was actually to go to Westminster, and then I think the march was then supposed to go on to Lib Dem HQ, which is just off Great College Street.
Yeah, but those are very narrow streets.
It's yes, almost, it is.
It
I mean,
would be impossible to actually get near it.
Yeah, but that's the nature of London. And I think, you know, I mean, I knew I was going to get kettled.
Did you?
Know? Yeah, I could have got out, but I stupidly left my press card with my photo ID on it behind. But I didn't mind anyway. I was there to show my solidarity with the students. I mean,
don't you think there could be a bit more imagination with the way these things are somehow
well, I think what's good about it is actually, you know, a lot of the sort of orthodox left seem to be kind of a bit bamboozled because teenagers or, well, you know, young people tweeted or, you know, sent text messages to each other, and just it was all pretty much autonomous. You know, I think that you need some level of organisation, you know, and I think in terms of, it would have been, I don't know, I don't want to get onto this too much, but I think a level of coordination would be good. But I don't know, I mean, look at the Milbank thing. Well, no one predicted that. That wasn't really planned as such. There's no actual identifiable leaders. I mean, there's people like Claire Solomon, you know, from, who's, you know, from Mutiny in the the leader of the NUS in UCL, but you know, I think that most, you know, I don't necessarily think they have much impact on people who are 15,
right.
who are fed up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know what you mean. Strategically, it could erupt in a way that's harder to police. I don't know. We shall see, because there's another day of action next week.
Is there?
Yeah, but of course, Spender of the Mets has already said that basically taking the gloves off and said he predicted a wave of so-called violent outbursts and protests.
Yeah,
and the police will have to react accordingly. But then, interestingly, Ed Miliband, I think this morning on Today was...
Miliband,
sorry. Was Ed Miliband.
That's
all right. He's not there anymore. Ed Miliband was, didn't rule out the possibility of going on demos and so on. So, obviously in order to try and sop up that youth vote. I think, though, if I were 14 or 15, I'd be campaigning for a reduction in the voting age right now.
Oh, right.
I think that would be one thing to do.
Right.
On top of everything else, but there you go.
Yeah. But it makes you wonder how many times people can sort of march up and down Whitehall or Hyde Park or whatever before...
Ad infinitum.
But it can be ignored, can't it?
Not really. I don't think so. I think people can change things. I think people really can. I think the thing is, what we're not seeing really at the moment is we're not really, really seeing the impact of the spending review. I think that will become evident in a few months to come, and then I think you'll start to see real misery because, there's only a few minutes to go, so I'm wary about going on this tangent. But I did go. I went with my colleague Radical Chic. That's her pseudonym. Her surname's Sheik. Yeah,
right.
And we had a good time. Yeah, it was funny seeing nice sort of young girls who were probably at haberdashers with the words Tory and scum written on their on their faces for makeup and stuff. It was sweet. It was very mixed in terms of gender and race and so on. And it was fun.
Yeah.
What are we listening to?
This is
Einstunde Neubauten
From their first LP. And it's called Collapse. Of course, the name of it translates as collapsing buildings, doesn't it? I was going to talk about this book. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Mobile Vulgus.
No, I've not seen it.
Written by someone called Christian Nold, available from Bookworks. And he sort of analysed the idea of street demonstrations and so on. And he came up with this theory for based on the idea of people marching across a bridge and having to break step. Because, in fact, if you all march across a bridge in step, you can actually cause the bridge to start swaying and cracking.
Right.
That's why, on certain bridges, you might have noticed on certain London bridges, they have a sign up saying break step when marching across, because in the unlikely event of a regiment of soldiers going across one of these bridges, if they all march in unison, they can actually cause structural defects to the structure.
Right.
So Christian Nold's book, he actually proposes this idea of people going into buildings and actually all stamping their feet in unison. But sounds like a highly dangerous and risky venture to me.
But a noisy one at that, though.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're fast approaching the end of the programme, and thank you very much, Richard Thomas.
Thanks for having me rambling on incoherently. Yes.
All right, Richard, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Stay.